We're looking at Matthew chapter 24 in our studies today, and we're going to begin around verse 36. The book of Matthew chapter 24, and I'll encourage you right now to open your Bible to that chapter. We've been talking about two great events that are discussed throughout the New Testament. We've been talking about, on the one hand, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And on the other hand, we've been talking primarily about the end of time. Now, the reason that we're talking about these two events, even though they're separated by hundreds and even thousands of years, is because the language that the New Testament uses to describe the destruction of Jerusalem, even though it happened a long time ago in AD 70, is in some cases very similar to the language that is used to describe the end of time. And so what we're trying to do is to keep these two things separated, because the Bible definitely does separate these two. And so if we understand the difference between these two events, then we won't be prone to try to predict the end of time, and we won't take what we hear on the news and try to force it into our interpretation of the Bible. So let's begin in Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read verse 36, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, because here we find that Jesus is talking about the end of time. He's been talking about the destruction of Jerusalem before this time, but now he's going on to a different subject. Verse 36 of Matthew 24 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now, I want you to observe the very first word in Matthew 24, verse 36. It is the word "but." That indicates, that shows that there is a contrast here. He is contrasting this subject in verse 36, which is the second coming of Christ, the end of time, with what he's already been talking about. And notice also that he says in verse 36, that of that day and hour, no man knows. Not even the angels of heaven know. And it's in Mark's account, if you're wondering, in Mark 13, verse 32, where Jesus adds that even he himself, the Son of God, at that time, while he was on earth, did not know the time of the second coming. And so the Bible says in verse 36, that no man knows, and no man can know when the end of time is approaching. Now contrast that to what he said in verse 32 and 33 and 34 about the destruction of Jerusalem. In verse 32 he said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things," all these signs that he's been talking about, the wars, the rumors of wars, all the way down to the abomination of desolation. He said, "When you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." So Jesus said, you can know that the destruction of Jerusalem is near by all these signs. And he fixed the time frame about when the destruction of Jerusalem would occur in verse 34 when he said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." So whatever the disciples knew at the time Jesus said these words about this great event that he was describing, they knew that it would not be 300 or 400 years or even 100 years in the future, because he said this is going to happen in this generation, in your generation. So in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, you can know when this event is going to take place. There will be these signs, and you can know when it happens. But in verse 36, he says, you cannot know. No man can know when the end of time will happen. So he separates the two. He draws a line between the two, and he says, you can know when the one's going to occur, but you cannot know when the other one is going to happen. And he compares it to something that happened in the past. In verse 37, he says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So Jesus said, when he comes again at the end of time, the world is going to be like it was before the flood. And what was the world like then? Well, it was very sinful. It was very evil. Genesis 6, verse 5 tells us that. But still, life went on as normal. The usual everyday things of human affairs took place before the flood. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And Jesus said, that is what the world will be doing. That is what the earth will be like when he comes again. So when you listen to people talk today, and oftentimes you read books about the end of time and listen to sermons, the picture that preachers paint oftentimes is that when Jesus returns, the world is going to be so wicked that it will be dangerous to go outside of your house, that demons will be flying all around tormenting people, that people will be starving to death, that there will be worldwide catastrophes and wars. And yet what we find in Jesus' own words is that he says when he comes again, people are going to be doing the normal everyday things that they're doing right now, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Now notice again that the Bible says in verse 39 that those people before the flood did not know until the flood came when it was coming. And he says, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He goes on and he says in verse 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So throughout this section then, Jesus draws a sharp contrast between the destruction and the fall of Jerusalem on the one hand and the end of time on the other. And that break, that transition occurs in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 24. And this is even more evident because as you go on into chapter 25, you have to remember that chapter 25 was not separated into chapters by Matthew as he recorded these words. And certainly Jesus did not go into a different subject in Matthew chapter 25. He's still talking about the end of time in Matthew chapter 25. So it's obvious that a transition has occurred because when you get into chapter 25 of Matthew, he's still talking to these disciples on the Mount of Olives. And in Matthew chapter 25, there are three judgment scenes, three lessons that he teaches about the end of time, the resurrection day, the judgment day. So obviously, there has been a transition from what he talked about in the earlier part of Matthew chapter 24. Now, what I'd like to do now is to look at some other passages in the New Testament which do talk about the fall of Jerusalem, even though at first glance they may sound like that they're about the end of time. Now, the first one is in Hebrews chapter 10, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Now, it's interesting to me that he's writing here to these people who were Hebrew Christians. That is, they had a Jewish background. They were Jews nationally who had converted to the church. So they were Christians. Now, the interesting thing is that many of these Jewish Christians in the first century lived in Jerusalem. And they knew the teaching of Jesus. They knew that their Savior had told the disciples years earlier that there were signs about the fall of Jerusalem. And when they saw those signs, they were to get out. So that would be especially meaningful to Jews in the first century. And it would be even more meaningful and important for Jewish Christians who were living in Jerusalem. They knew that someday they would have to get out. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, the writer says these words to these Jewish Christians. He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, he's talking about a coming of the Lord here, and he says it's going to take place in a little while. Now, if you're living in the first century, and a writer tells you that something is going to take place in just a little while, you're not going to think about something that's going to happen 1,000 years or 2,000 years later. You're going to be thinking about something that is going to happen, as he says, in a little while. And that event that he's talking about in Hebrews 10:37 was the fall of Jerusalem. Now, let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we have another passage here that is written, it seems, primarily to Christians with this Jewish background. So in James chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh." That is, it's drawing near. Now again, this can't be describing the end of time because he's talking to people who lived almost 2,000 years ago. So this coming of the Lord is the coming of the Lord to punish the nation of Israel and especially the city of Jerusalem. Now, this is why we started out talking about, as we began this series, the fact that in the Bible, the coming of the Lord can refer to different things. Sometimes it refers to the coming of the Lord at the end of time on the judgment day, but sometimes in the Bible it refers to a coming of the Lord in judgment upon to punish a certain nation or a certain group of people. Now, the next passage is in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 7. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer." Now, Peter here says that the end of all things is at hand. He can't be talking about the end of all things pertaining to the earth, because he says that this end is at hand. In their time, not ours, but at the time that he wrote this letter to these people, again in the first century, he told them that the end of all things was near for them. To them, the end of all things was at hand or near. So the end of all things there is not the end of the material universe. The end of all things means the end of all things pertaining to Judaism, the end of all things pertaining to the religious structure and the national identity as they had known it, of the nation of Israel. He's talking about the fall of Jerusalem. Now, the next section of Scripture that I want to look at very briefly is Revelation, the book of Revelation, and I'm going to look first of all at chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. Notice that this book starts out saying, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." Now, what does John tell these Christians in the first century about the things that he's writing about in this book? When does he say that these things were going to happen or come to pass? He says shortly. Shortly. For them, these things would soon come to pass. These things that he's writing about in the book of Revelation, John says in the very opening words of this book, were in the near future of these people that he's writing to almost 2,000 years ago. And so he also says in verse 3, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand." What time? The time that these things are going to take place. Well, if that time of the events that he talks about in the book of Revelation was near, if it was at hand to these people, then that must have been in the first century and not at the end of time. And in Revelation chapter 22, you find several times in this closing chapter of this book that he says the same thing about these events. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 6, he says, "And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly," that is soon, "be done." In verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." In verse 10, he says to me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, it is near." In verse 12, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And again, in verse 20, "Surely I come quickly." And if those events that are talked about in this book were soon to happen for these people that lived almost 2,000 years ago, then they did happen long ago from our perspective.